Next man up, 102.5, the game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newton, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. Max Herz coming up at 11 o'clock to talk some Preds before pregame coverage at noon. Puck drop from Sweden is at 1 o'clock.
Sweden. Every time I think of Sweden, I think of who's the character from The Muppets?
The Swedish chef?
Yeah. I heard. That and the Rock, like 20 years ago, cut a promo, and I can't repeat a lot of it because it would not hold up today. But he goes, and if you need further clarification, let the Rock tell you in Swedish. And he goes,
yeah, the Swedish chef, all-time character.
It's an all-timer.
We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Talking college football here. Vanderbilt with some scoreboard watching this weekend. We talked about Texas and Georgia. Alabama also hosting Oklahoma. The Sooners likely going to be in the playoffs if they win this game. They finish with Missouri and LSU, and Missouri still going to be starting a freshman quarterback. LSU, I don't think, has all that much to play for.
And they're at home against LSU, right?
Right. Yeah. And I did just see during the break, speaking of LSU, guess who is a candidate for the Arkansas job?
Libby Dunn.
Coach O.
Go Tigers.
Whooping Suey.
Can you imagine?
See, when Pat Fitzgerald got let go at Northwestern a couple years ago, I wanted Ed O to go to Northwestern so bad.
Pat Fitzgerald, I think, is going to find his way back.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is. I think he sounds ready to go, too.
I think he'll end up at Michigan State.
Yeah, that would be a fit.
That would work out very well.
Yeah, so maybe Coach O getting back into coaching.
What a coaching tandem we get there. Ed Orgeron and John Calipari.
Oh, yes, man. That would be
just a washed coaching
tandem.
That'd
be a fun athletic department to be a part of.
They're not machines, though. Just remember that.
For Alabama, Ty Simpson, he has been outstanding this year and firmly in that Heisman conversation. Right now, I think... if I'm looking at the odds, like Fernando Mendoza's one, or no, Julian Sayin, I think, is one.
Really?
But it's kind of, there's four at the top. It's Sayin, Mendoza, Simpson, Marcel Reed, and then Pavia's in fifth, is based on the current expectations. Still lots of football to play, but Ty Simpson, national television. This game is the 2:30 game, right, on ABC?
Yes.
But national television, an opportunity for him to go out there and have a Heisman moment towards the end of the season against the top 15 team.
It's pronounced Tiesman.
Yes, the Tiesman Trophy.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I think if you were to ask me right now who the most deserving quarterback of the Heisman is right now, I think it's Ty Simpson. You could argue Fernando Mendoza, but look at the competition compared from Indiana to Alabama. Ty Simpson has gone out there and dotted up Georgia and Tennessee and teams that are significantly better than what Indiana has done. And I understand that Fernando Mendoza played well against Oregon, and that's his marquee win. And look, he struggled against Penn State. Penn State's a good team, talented, I guess, but he did not look like a Heisman-level quarterback in that game. Ty Simpson maybe has slowed down a little bit, but I don't think as significantly as Fernando did in that game. I think if he goes out and plays lights out against Oklahoma, it's pretty much his award to lose.
Yeah, I think Simpson has the biggest opportunities to go win the Heisman, right? Like, he's likely going to make the SEC championship game, and he'll have an opportunity to go prove it. On the other side in the Big Ten, it may come down to the Big Ten championship between Ohio State and Indiana as well. Julian Sayin, maybe the most under-the-radar Heisman candidate of all time. Like, I feel like no one's talking about him because Ohio State hasn't played anybody.
Yeah,
right? They played Texas week one, and then the only other ranked team on their schedule, Illinois, and they've just blown everybody out. But Sayin's completing 80% of his passes. So, if...
Well, it helps when you have probably the two best receivers in the entire country on your roster.
Very good point. You got Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith on the outside. But I think Sayin, if status quo stays the rest of the season and nobody really pulls away and you're in this group, if Sayin goes out and wins the Big Ten championship, he might win it because statistically he does have an edge in a lot of different categories on Simpson and Reed and Mendoza when you look at the statistics.
It's been kind of an interesting Heisman race from the standpoint of no one really is head and shoulders above anyone else. And I do think it's pretty much locked in that it's a quarterback award this year.
Yeah, Jeremiah Love will get some votes.
Yeah,
but he's not going to – I would doubt he gets a seat in New York, and he's obviously not going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to ask me, New York, I think it would be Simpson, Mendoza, Sayin, and either Reed or Pavia.
Yeah.
One of those two. But it's very clearly a quarterback award this year. Sayin, to my point, I think he benefits from having probably the most talented offense in the entire country.
Yeah.
Throwing the ball to Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith. And it helps that he hasn't played anyone, like you said. I think we'll find out a little bit of what he is in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah,
and
Michigan
even against
game
Michigan.
As well. Yeah.
Just because, not that I think Michigan is this uber-talented team, but that's a rival. You're playing in Ann Arbor.
And it's the game. Like,
it
that's,
is the game.
That is, you're going to have the most eyes you've had on you, I guess, with the exception of maybe the Texas game at the beginning of the year. And that's where you can go make a statement. And that's why I say if status quo stays and everybody keeps playing the way they are, I think Sayin might end up winning it. Just
right.
Because it's nobody's pulling away.
And name value.
Right. And
he's wearing scarlet and
you're
gray.
There are like 10 names.
You're the best
for the Heisman right now.
Yeah. Right. You're the best quarterback on the best team. Sometimes that wins you the Heisman Trophy.
But honestly, like I've watched Julian Sayin, and he is having a Heisman caliber year. I've also heard the argument that look at who Fernando Mendoza's throwing to, guys out of the transfer portal that nobody wanted, 3 stars.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Julian Sayin, and this isn't taken away from Julian Sayin because he's putting the ball in positions for his receivers to be successful, but he's throwing to Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. I think he'll win a Heisman at some point, but I'd love to see Ty Simpson or Mendoza be the front runner.
Yeah.
And there's a difference in putting the ball in the right place with talented receivers like that against Illinois as opposed to what Ty Simpson is doing and putting him in a position against Georgia.
No, and that's fair. And talking with Corey Curtis about this on Wednesday, I think Diego Pavia, I think he deserves to be in the conversation, but it is going to be tough to win it when, as things stand right now, you're going to get the other 4 Heisman candidates playing in conference championship games against each other. And it's like, if it's Marcel Reed and Ty Simpson head-to-head and Julian Sayin, Fernando Mendoza head-to-head, Diego might get forgotten a little bit that week, even if he does finish the season strong.
And if you're going specifically off of statistics, I don't think that Pavia stacks up to those other 4
Lately, though, his stats have started to catch up.
I agree
with you. Heading into that Texas game, you looked and you said, all right, the stats really don't match up, even though he has such a big impact on his team.
The Auburn game helps him a lot.
Well, I mean, he's thrown for like 700 yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks, and run for like 200 with a touchdown as well on the other side. So,
Pavia,
2 touchdowns.
I think his leading campaign message is what he's done for his team.
Right.
He has turned Vanderbilt into a college football playoff contender. The other 4, I think going into this season, you could have looked at them and thought, okay, they're probably pretty easy conference contenders. So for Pavia, that's his leading case.
I agree. I do think if you're making a case for 2 for Diego Pavia, it's that no one has had a bigger impact on his team than Diego Pavia. I don't think. Like, Ty Simpson's been great. Fernando Mendoza's been great. Julian Sayin. Marcel Reed. But if you plug those guys in on Vanderbilt, I don't know if Vanderbilt is 8-2 right now. Right? Like, I think Diego Pavia, the way that he's elevated this team, deserves at least some merit. I don't think it's going to be enough to win it, but I hope he gets a seat in New York. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I think we're going to get a dose of Julian Sayin and Ohio State love here as we go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dr. Locke is on the line. Thanks for calling. What you got for us today?
Oh, you bet your ass you guys are. Hey, it's about time you guys finally admitted who the best team in the nation is. No question. They wear scarlet and gray. We are mowing everybody down. We started off with that weak-ass Texas team, that $20 million team that went and got bought and came up and got a good one. Blew him off the ball on the O-line, blew him off the ball on the D-line. And you're not even touching the best thing about Ohio State this year. It's not our 2 wide receivers who are going to go in the first round. It's not our Heisman quarterback, just saying. It's the defense. We are the number 1 statistic defense. We're not just blowing teams out by 30 or 40. They're not even scoring on us. So, I mean, look at the scores against us. 3, 7, 3, 10. We are annihilating people.
No, it's they are the best team in the country. They've been the number one team for 3 months. So
there's not a team in the SEC. You can pander all you want. You can talk about the middle of the SEC. Well, guess what? The middle of the SEC is going to be playing in a Poulain Weed Eater Bowl. You're going to get your three or four or five teams, and we're going to smack any one of those guys by 14 points.
We'll see how it turns out. Thank you for the call. Yeah, Ohio State. He's not wrong. They've got talent everywhere. I mean, Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate, we mentioned at wide receiver, but you've got maybe the best probably the best player in this year's upcoming draft, Arvell Reese.
All right, let's play a little
and
game.
And Caleb Downs.
I'm glad Ohio State and Indiana and Oregon can carry the big the water for the rest of the Big Ten.
For the sake of being fair, let's play a little game here.
Yeah.
In Big Ten conference play, Ohio State has played unranked Washington, unranked Minnesota, number 17 Illinois at the time, now unranked. A horrible Wisconsin team that they shut out. Penn State, unranked. They have 3 wins on the season.
Winless in the Big Ten.
In the Big Ten. Purdue, who is maybe the worst team in all of FBS.
UCLA and Rutgers the next
year. They got UCLA and Rutgers. I mean, I don't understand how you can compare that schedule to some of the teams, or some of the schedule. Look at Vanderbilt's schedule in the SEC. I don't understand how you compare that schedule to an SEC schedule and think that's even comparable.
Right. I mean, Ohio State, 100% talented, maybe the most talented team in the country. But, yeah, that schedule makes it makes Indiana's schedule last year look like a meat grinder.
And I full-heartedly agree. Right now, Ohio State's the best team in the nation. They got a number one next to their name for a reason.
And you got to give them credit. They did schedule Texas in the non-con. So they played a very tough out-of-conference game to start the year. Out of their control that Penn State was horrible this year and fired James Franklin. Out of their control.
I mean, we want to talk about the middle of the SEC playing in a lawnmower bowl. The middle of the Big Ten may not even be in a bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, so. Washington, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers.
That and honestly, Ohio State can't control that. But the Big Ten, it just goes to show that the Big Ten just doesn't have the depth.
Right.
That's all it shows.
I do expect Ohio State to be right in the thick of the national championship race and once we get to the playoff. Like, I think there's a good chance that they go back-to-back, but acting like it's going to be a cakewalk playing Alabama or A&M or Ole Miss or
Georgia. We're annihilating teams. Like, there's a reason you're annihilating teams, because you're more talented than them.
Right. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Continuing to talk college football, we'll take your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, also Monday headlines coming up at 10:30, and then Max Herz joins us at 11. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly alongside you on your Friday morning. Max Herz will join at 11. We'll lead you right into Preds pregame today over in Sweden, taking on the Penguins. 1 o'clock puck drop. We have devolved into the SEC versus the Big Ten conversation. Dr. Locke has drug us back there. Again, our stance pretty much universally has been the top of the Big Ten can compete with anybody. Ohio State, Penn State when they're good, Oregon, Michigan. But you get down to the Minnesotas, the UCLAs, the Rutgers, the Purdues of the world, that doesn't stack up with the middle to bottom of the SEC.
And the only ones that'll argue with you on that is Big Ten people.
Right. And we've got plenty on our text line here. Andrew says, I love listening to Buckeyes fans talking about their team on Nashville Sports Radio. They're almost worse than Bama fans. Almost. Jeremy in Clarksville says, Ohio State has blown people out. Good wins against Grambling in Ohio. Solid bragging rights.
We turned into Big Ten Paul Feinbaum?
I guess
we have. Is that
what
we are?
I guess we have. And speaking of which, let's go to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lance wants to get in on the conversation about the SEC and the Big Ten. Lance, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, you need to talk to Dr. Big Ten and tell him to come down here and play with the big boys. And then number two is ask him how many national championships the Big Ten has won in the last 20 years compared to the SEC. And number three is they didn't win one until the NIL came around and they could pay their players. Well, they're talking about Texas. So, you know, he can't smoke from the same pipe. He can't talk about the same people. He can't play. He plays up there in the league. There's three teams. And, you know, you put a team like Kentucky or Tennessee or, you know, our lower echelon could beat any of them on any given day other than the one or two or three top ten. So it's asinine listening to that crap. Now, hang on, listen.
Thank you for the call, Lance. Yeah, I mean,
we are Paul Feinbaum.
I guess we are. I guess we are. I mean, the Big Ten is going to, you know, stick its chest out because they've won the last two national championships. But, yeah, you look before that, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Alabama. I mean, the last one that the Big Ten won before Michigan in 2023 was Ohio State in the first year of the playoffs, 2014.
Yep.
And before that, you have to go all the way back to –
probably, well –
well, we don't count USC.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Ohio State in 2002. So, there you go.
So, in 20 years –
They've won
three, and it's all because – or, sorry, four, and it's between Ohio State and Michigan, which we would put at the top ranks of the Big Ten.
Yeah. I love scrolling through the national championships and the random claimed ones that are there.
Like, oh, yeah, that Auburn claimed in 2002.
Yeah, like 2017 UCF.
Add that to the list of SEC natties.
UCF is listed as the national champion in 2017 under Alabama.
Have you ever gone and looked – Alabama claims 18 national titles, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever gone and looked how many of them are
real?
Real.
Right. I mean, because this dates back to like 1890. Oregon is listed as a national champion last year. Ohio State is listed as the obvious national champion, but Oregon, two outlets apparently have listed Oregon as the national champion last year.
You know who claims a national championship in 1961?
Who?
Kentucky.
I'm looking. Vanderbilt's got one in 1906.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the Ivy League schools back in, like, the 1800s.
Like, oh, Princeton was a dynasty back in the early 1900s.
Harvard run the table.
Yale, yeah.
1869.
Swanee?
There are two national championships.
The original SEC program.
The first one listed is 1869. Do you know who the national champions were in 1869? There's two teams.
Notre Dame?
No.
Oh.
In 1869?
1869. They both had a record of 1-1 in their national championship run.
Army and Navy?
Princeton and Rutgers.
Yeah. Rutgers is the birthplace of college football, fun fact.
It is.
Yeah. The
hell no. Shiano.
The first time that a national champion played more than two games in a season was 1874. So there you go. There's your history lesson for the day.
You're welcome, kiddies.
But yes, the SEC overall is dominated. The Big Ten has the bragging rights right now. They've won the last two. We'll see what happens in the playoff. Because, yes, I agree. If you're looking objectively at it, Ohio State is the best team in college football right now. They haven't lost.
Yeah.
And they have – it's not like they're squeaking by teams. They've blown everybody out. They're talented. But let's see what happens when they get into the playoff. And you've got to go through – let's say they've got to go through Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia to get to the national championship. Like, you got to play three SEC teams to get there. I don't know how the bracket would work out.
Yeah.
Maybe you get to play, like, Texas Tech or something like that.
Well, no one here is denying the fact that Ohio State is the best team in the nation right now.
Yeah.
And the most talented team. And look, to Dr. Locke's point, they've got two receivers that are going in the first round in respective drafts.
And they might have the two best defensive players in the country in Arvell Reese and Caleb Downs.
We're just saying that as a conference, comparing apples to apples, the SEC is a deeper conference than the Big Ten.
I think there you could find half of the SEC that would be undefeated in conference play if they played Ohio State's schedule.
Look, I'll even take the bottom of the SEC and the bottom of the Big Ten. Do you think if we were to put Kentucky and Purdue up against each other, the SEC would come out with a win by a pretty marginal marginal?
We're doing it all over the place today. Chalk up another hypothetical win for the SEC.
Amen. But
I do get why Big Ten people are annoyed by SEC and vice versa.
It is funny.
This is our fault.
Like, I've become self-aware of how often we come up with hypothetical SEC wins, and I'm like, yeah, I can understand why Big Ten people don't like this.
But it does lead me to an interesting question I want to ask you, Jake.
Yeah.
A texter asked as well, but I think it's an interesting point. Outside of the top four right now,
right, I did
being
see this.
Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, and Alabama, do you think there's a team in the field that is capable of winning a national title?
Well, you've got to look right now that last year in the 12-team playoff, all four teams that got byes lost. And I understand that Boise State and Arizona State were part of that, too.
Yeah,
but
it's a different seeding system now. So.
So Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Alabama, that's the four. Maybe Georgia. Maybe Oregon. I don't.
Like, Georgia is very much a national championship. Right.
I would say Georgia is.
Even though they squeak out games.
Like, I think Texas Tech is good. I don't believe in Texas Tech to go win four straight games.
I think
games.
They can win a game.
Yeah, they could win a game in the playoff.
I think there are maybe eight national championship contenders.
Eight?
Eight.
You got eight? I got Ohio State, none Indiana, more. A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Notre Dame.
So that's seven.
Yeah.
I
would go, I think that's seven.
I think I would throw Ole Miss in that conversation.
Ole Miss is the one that
they're like teetering on. Right. They're right there.
I think what holds them back for me is their defense.
100%.
Their defense 100%. Can't finish four quarters of football.
Yeah.
They have all the talent in the world on offense, and credit to them because they have the coach that can do that. That's why I don't think he leaves Oxford. That's a conversation for a different day. But you're right. Ole Miss is the team that I think teeters on that.
That yeah. I would say Ole Miss and Oregon are kind of like the two that I'm looking at on the bubble of are you a national championship contender? I'm not sure. I would put Notre Dame in there. I think Notre Dame is talented enough to play with anybody. But I also, if it comes down to it and it's Notre Dame, Ohio State in the national championship, I would pick Ohio State.
Yeah, I would too.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Fun conversation on this Friday morning. Got into different areas of college football that I didn't think we were going to.
And different hypothetical scenarios.
Somehow referenced the 1869 Princeton Tigers football team that went 1-1 and won the national championship. When we come back, we're moving Monday headlines up an hour because Max Herz is going to join us at 11. What are we going to be talking about after the weekend? We will try and predict coming up next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Connor vibing in the studio here.
I love it. I missed this. I didn't get this with D-Mace last week.
Right, yeah.
And I don't think he would understand it the way you
understand I don't know if he would. Only 30 minutes till we kick you out of here anyway.
Yeah, that's all right.
Max Herr is going to join us at 11. We're going to get to our Monday headlines, but our friend Kenny the Mailman has called in. Let's check in with Kenny. Good morning. Thanks for calling. What you got for us?
Good morning, good friends. How are y'all?
Doing well.
This is the first time I've ever really even had to notice or participate in playoff talk and trying to figure out how Vandy can do this or that. It's a pretty good feeling. But you know what? It'll all work out in the long run. We talk, and usually it works out. But I'm telling everybody, don't go nuts. Don't jump off a ledge when Texas gets in with three losses and Vanderbilt doesn't, because it's going to happen. Because elitists, they say they, you know, tolerant and for all the people, but elitists, when they have a chance, they use their elite power, and the elites get in. I had no idea last year I went to the Texas game, and I'd always heard for fun, you know, the upside-down horns. Y'all know what that is.
Yeah, horns down.
Well, I did it just to see what happened. Oh, my gosh. You'd have thought I'd drawn a pentagram on a church. Just the pearl clutches, the histrionics. I think they've even tried to go to the SEC and get that made a personal foul if an opposing player does that in the game. Did y'all know that?
I believe they got the Big 12 to do it before they moved to the SEC.
I think they're supposed to be in the SEC too, but when something like that, if I know something like that bothers you that much, I go out of my way to do it.
Yes.
But I'm just warning people now, when the elites get a chance, they will change the rules the night before. They will figure out a new way to figure things and everything, so it's going to happen. Hey, if Vandy goes 10-2 and goes to the Citrus Bowl, it would still be the greatest season ever for me, and I don't know if this smile will ever be wiped off my face, but everybody get ready for it. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you for the call. Thanks, Kenny. It would be really tough to handle if a 9-3 Texas got in over Vanderbilt, and the head-to-head doesn't help in that argument, but I still think that Florida loss would be enough to push Vandy over.
I agree with you. Yeah, especially seeing what Florida did last week.
Right.
By yours truly.
Yes, Florida.
Not me. I didn't do anything.
What, 38-7? What did it end up being?
Yeah, 38-7. Lagway got benched because he had four turnovers in the first half.
So disappointing, DJ Lagway. Such a talented player.
I think if he gets a better coach, he'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get another chance. Five-star quarterback. Look at what Jackson Arnold. I mean, he was horrible at Oklahoma, got benched, and still found his way to millions of dollars in the transfer portal.
And is still horrible, believe it or not.
Yes, got benched again at Auburn. 615-737-1025. If you have any thoughts, you can text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is time for our Monday headlines. What are we going to be talking about after the weekend? Let's start with one for the Titans game. Didn't have to do one last week for the Titans with the bye week. What are you predicting is going to happen this weekend for the Titans?
I think with Jeffrey Simmons being back and the Houston Texans offensive line being as bad as it is,
yep,
I think Jeffrey Simmons finds his way to the quarterback multiple times.
Oh, so two-plus sacks for Jeff.
Two-plus.
I like it. I like it. And he's out there with Tavondre Sweat for only the third time this year, and both of those times has been very limited. So excited to see that on Sunday. I'm going to go to the offensive side of the ball. Going to get real bold here. All right? Cam Ward has his first multi-touchdown game.
Oh.
I'm going to at least two passing touchdowns for Cam Ward.
Both to Chim Dike.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing. You weren't here on last Friday that I was – the 1 week I was gone was the week that Chim finally took one to the house.
I know. I thought of you as soon as that happened.
I've been guessing it all year long, and of course, the 1 week that I wasn't here on Friday, I didn't pick it. Parker, do you have a Monday headline for the Titans game?
I do, and this one's going to be very simple. Danielle Hunter had three sacks last week, and I believe that he gets to the quarterback at least one time. And on the other side, Will Anderson. We'll get to Cam Ward as well. Both will record a sack.
Wow. All right. So you're not having a whole lot of faith in the Titans' offensive line. I don't know if I would either against this pass rush group. All right,
someone's got to bring back down the two-tone positivity over here.
That's true.
Good on you.
We got too happy in here. Anywhere else you want to go with your second one? This could be college football. This could be the NFL. This could be hockey. Preds in Sweden. What you got for us, Connor?
If I can go anywhere, then come back to me because I want to make history on this program.
All right. We'll give you some time. New Mexico State beats Tennessee. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
They cover that 28.5.
38.5
with flying colors.
I am
at first, I couldn't tell if you were serious or not.
I am 100% joking.
My head snapped around.
I know. I wanted to see your reaction. I have gone bold. I mean, I've been picking top 10 upsets as much as I can. I will stay in college football. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go full on homer here. Vandy gets everything they need to happen this weekend. Notre Dame loses. Oklahoma
I was going
loses,
to go that way.
Texas loses.
I was going to go that way, but you said I could go anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go into the realm I know best.
College basketball?
The world of college hoops.
There you go. What you got?
There is one top 10 showdown tomorrow. And a top 25 showdown on Sunday. UConn and BYU are doing battle tomorrow.
AJ Dibanza?
I think they get it done.
You think so?
I think BYU takes down Dan Hurley.
Going with the Cougs.
Then on Sunday, Houston is hosting Auburn. I think Houston absolutely exposes
I agree.
Auburn.
Yep.
I don't think Auburn is that good. I think they've been pressured into a bad coaching hire because I don't think Stephen Pearl is that good of a hire. I think the Auburn era of them being dominant at basketball is coming to a close.
And Houston, they returned a lot of talent from that national runner-up team last year. They brought in a lot of talented freshmen. I like that pick. I think Houston does blow out Auburn this weekend. Parker, what you got for us?
Before I say mine, you believe Notre Dame is going to lose this weekend, right?
I don't know if I believe it, but I'm picking it.
And what about you, Connor? Did you make a pick? Notre Dame, Pittsburgh?
Oh, if I have to pick one, Notre Dame's going to route them.
Okay, dang it. I was hoping
nothing.
Both of y'all were going to say Pittsburgh.
But that's not my official pick.
Okay, so Notre Dame is a 12.5-point favorite versus Pittsburgh. Notre Dame's going to win and cover.
Okay. I mean, I'm picking it more as wishful thinking for Vanderbilt to get everything they need this weekend.
Throwing it out into the ether.
If all three of those results happen, there is almost zero chance that a 10-2 Vanderbilt would not get in. So we're crossing our fingers. And we're picking the trifecta for Vandy. Pitt, Alabama, Georgia.
There you go. You're just throwing it out into the ether.
I am.
Hopefully it happens.
Just, you know, manifesting. Manifesting good things for Vanderbilt tomorrow. Jeremy in Clarksville says, Cam Ward passes for three touchdowns. Trey still calls in and says Cam sucks.
That is a lock.
That's pretty fair. Yeah, that the odds
second
on,
part at
the
least.
Odds on that.
Yeah,
would be
why
good.
Why haven't the Titans traded Cam Ward yet or released?
Yeah,
him?
Why is Brandon Allen not starting?
His footwork just sounds horrible.
It does.
Like I can just hear it on the radio broadcast. I know it sounds horrible.
We love Trey. He is a treasure.
Thank you, buddy.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your Monday headlines if you've got them. We just gave ours. Nothing super bold. I would guess the most bold thing is picking Notre Dame to lose to Pitt. Which,
yeah.
Again,
no bold takes here.
Yeah, we went a little bit.
We're done with that era.
We went a little bit more mild this week, but we'll see if anything comes up. If you've got predictions, send them in. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. One more segment with Connor. We'll wrap up our conversation before Max Herz joins us at the top of the hour to talk Preds. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game.
Yes!
Connor did request some Sabrina before we got out of here.
Oh, I love her so much. I'm so mad I missed her concert.
She played two shows, right? At
yeah.
Bridgestone?
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I convinced Ann Kimmel that I'm not
that you're a big that you're a big Sabrina Carpenter fan.
Yeah, that. Yep. Yep.
Next man up, 102.5 the game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly. Last segment with Connor. Max Herr is going to join us at the top of the hour as the Preds are in Sweden. And they are playing two Global Series games against the Penguins over the next 3 days. We will lead you right into pregame coverage, which starts at noon with Max. Puck drop is at 1. And then on Sunday, early morning hockey. Breakfast with the Preds.
Great.
8 a.m. puck drop.
I'll be here at 6. I'll be up by 4.
Right. It's at, why will you be up by 4?
Well, I got to be
here. Oh, you
got to
get
6.
Your nutrition.
Oh, I forgot about that. Forgot about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, why are you getting up 2 hours early?
Well,
it doesn't take that long to get in here.
Yeah, you're right. I could probably sleep in until 5.
There
leave
you
at,
go.
Leave at 5:30.
Nice and
get here by 6.
Sleep in nice and late. Yes, 8 a.m. puck drop on Sunday. So Max will have your pregame coverage starting at 7.
Woohoo.
Earliest hockey game in Preds history, I would assume?
In American history.
Really?
Ever.
Yeah.
No, I don't actually know.
I have no idea, but like...
Feels like it.
Feels like it would be. I know they've been doing the Global Series games for a little bit here, but, you know, 8 a.m.
As long as crazy. I've been here, they've never been.
Well, the Preds haven't been out there, so I would make the assumption.
Yeah.
Yes, 8 a.m. So nice and early. Predators trying to turn things around, and we're going to talk with Max about this team. 5 straight losses. Tough one on Monday, facing a Rangers team that really hadn't gotten anything going at home, and you give up 6 goals and lose your 5th straight game. Feels like a turning point for the Predators here in Sweden of, hey, if you're going to get this going and get back into the conversation to be a playoff team, you probably need at least 2 points in Sweden this week.
Yeah.
And you'd love to get 3.
I worry, and look, I have no insider information on this. I don't know anything, but I worry that if they go in and just drop both, then we're going to see a coach firing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it
would not surprise me.
The leash has to get shorter and shorter with the way things have gone.
And I understand practicing patience. I heard Chase talk about this a couple of days ago. David Poile practiced a lot of patience with Barry Trotz. So I think Barry is trying to reciprocate and show the same patience to Andrew Brunette. The team also wasn't as bad as it is right now.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
So at some point, you got to pull the trigger. The system doesn't fit the players. It just hasn't worked out the way it's supposed to. And I think I love Andrew Brunette. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good man. It's just not working right now.
Yeah. And I think you're right that Barry Trotz wanted to be patient and give Andrew Brunette a chance because Bruno, he has shown promise. I mean, he got that team to the playoffs with the 19-game point streak.
I mean, he came in second for the Coach of the Year
right,
award.
Like, I think that they wanted to show patience, and giving him another year, I think, was patience because you could have flew off the handle and said, you know what, bad year, we gave you talent, you couldn't make the most of it, and fired him after year one. Year one with all of these new players, I should say. Year two for Brunette. But you're now what? 5-9-4. Robbie was reciting that back to us this morning. 5-9-4. You've lost 13 of 17. You're not showing a whole lot of progress. And now you've lost 5 straight and just got blown out by the Rangers as you head across overseas. So if you're going to turn things around, feels like this has to be it. This has to be your U2 concert.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard because the Penguins are playing as good as anyone in the league right now. They're playing really, really well.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising being as old as they are. They are, as the kids say, an unk squad.
Yes, so. They are. Yeah, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, they ageless wonders.
They don't stop.
They don't. And that hockey is interesting in that way of like...
Hockey and baseball. Those are the two.
But baseball is so much less physical.
Right.
And you play... Like, hockey, you play 82 games a year, and it's... You're getting a hit.
Look
and,
at Ovechkin.
Like, I don't get how the longevity is... In hockey happens. Like, yeah, how do Ovechkin and Crosby and Malkin and all these guys play into their 40s? Like, I feel like hockey's about it's as close to football as you get.
Right, and football, like, it's not uncommon to see guys retire by, like,
at 30.
30, right. 35 at
right.
the latest.
I mean, yeah, like, Luke Kuechly.
Aaron Donald.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, all these guys who... Felt like you were a Patrick Willis, another guy. Like you felt like we're still in the prime of their careers and retire. Hockey isn't quite as physical
Andrew
as
Luck.
Football, where like it's not like you have people hitting on every single play. Like in football, you're getting hit every single time you snap the ball.
Yeah,
especially if you're like an offensive lineman or something like that. But in hockey, you are getting hit a lot. You're playing a lot more games. The longevity is insane. That the Penguins have basically had the same core to their team for 15 years.
Yeah, it's and they've won championships with that core.
Yes,
and
they have.
They've been through ups and downs together. Sorry, I didn't mean to punt or hit a nerve there for Preds fans for saying that.
I know. You said they won championships. I was like, I think some chills just went down the spines of everybody, all the Preds fans around here. But the Preds trying to get back on track. They've got two games in Sweden this weekend, starting today, 1 o'clock puck drop from Stockholm. Preds and Penguins, and pregame coverage coming up right after us at noon. We're going to have kind of an extended pregame coverage as Max Herz is going to join us at 11 a.m. coming up in just about 10 minutes, and we will go through everything going on with the Predators as they make the trip overseas. But final thoughts here on the Titans game on Sunday. You return from the bye. You're getting some players back healthy. This is where you really need to see the young quarterback start to take a step forward, right? Like, we talk all... This show is one of the biggest Cam Ward advocates out there. Like, we are going to give Cam Ward time. But you do have to start seeing the progress, right? It's not like you can just say, oh, it's still early, it's still early. Eventually, it's not going to be early. You have to start to see the progress tick upwards instead of staying kind of flat like we've seen it the last couple of weeks.
Right. I don't want to say there's no excuse for him to start ascending, especially during this game, because there are outliers and situations that play a factor into this.
Right.
If Calvin Ridley can't catch a ball, that's not necessarily on Cam Ward.
Yeah.
However, I would say it's pretty important that we see Cam Ward start to ascend and start to, you know, develop, and we see some things that play into that, right? Like, you got to see some development. Otherwise, Trey's going to call us next Monday and give us another three-minute rant.
That's going to happen anyway.
How he heard how the footwork wasn't that good.
Well, and with Ward, you have seen some things get better, right? Like, the completion percentage has been better the last 5 weeks than it was the first four. So, there is tangible improvement in some areas, but he's still missing the easy ones sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and that's expected. He's a rookie.
Right.
And I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I'm just kind of trying to provide some, you know, evidence
right.
as to why things are happening.
He has to be able to take what the defense is giving him. And he also can't miss throws. Like the throw to Van Jefferson on third and long against the Chargers last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't set his feet and he short hopped it 5 yards short. Those are the plays you have to make if you're going to be a quarterback in this
yeah.
league. So, I'm excited to see him play on Sunday, see if he can take a step forward, getting Calvin Ridley back, coming off the bye week where there was a chance to look inward, and we'll see if Cam Ward is able to have some improvement. Maybe the Titans are in this game, facing a backup quarterback in Davis Mills.
Yeah, well.
Or they make him look like Joe Montana.
Yeah, he's going to. It's a tradition unlike any other.
Connor, always great having you in.
Always a pleasure.
And I guess the plan is that you will be in next Friday. Maybe I'll make an appearance live from Memorial Gym as we get ready for
please do
kids screaming 6-7 as we take on up. Tennessee State.
Well, I appreciate the time. Don't worry, I'll be in the ceiling tiles through the remainder of the show. I
there
basically live here.
Yes, you do,
and I'll be on the air tomorrow. Same time slot.
There you go. 9 to 11 tomorrow with the weekend huddle. Yep. Max Herz is going to join us for the final hour of the show on this Friday. We'll lead you right into Preds pregame coverage as the Preds take on the Penguins. Final hour of the show coming up next. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.